Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four, hang
out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Friday. It is the end of week number 11 in the 80th Nevada legislature. You know one of the things we're going to do? In fact, before we take you to Carson City, I'm going to see if we can do the Friday song. Can we do the Friday song? Yeah. Only because we get requests from all over the country of people that their Friday just isn't the same without the Friday song. It is the one day a week that we celebrate.
It's Friday.
Here we go.
Friday,
by request.
Friday.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, it's the one day a week that we celebrate. It's the one day a week we let our hair down and we have fun.
Hey,
it's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Friday.
What day is it?
Come on, quit asking dumb questions. You know what day it is. It's Friday. Yeah.
Hey.
It's Friday.
Yeah. If you need any reminding, it is Friday. It is, by the way, the end of week 11 of the 80th Nevada legislature. Tell you what let's do. Let's check in with our buddy Daniel Honcharoo. Daniel is a senior policy analyst, government affairs for NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute. And this special NPRI report is brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Daniel, good morning. The end of week 11, and we're starting to see maybe light at the end of the tunnel. Tell me where we are relative to how far we've come and how far we still have to go.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, and happy Friday. I am just as excited as you are that it's Friday. It's been a long and productive week up in Carson over these last 5 days. You are right. It is the end of week 11. We are in day 75 of 120-day 2019 session. The last deadline, about 10 days ago, killed a bunch of bills, nearly 300. So we're now dealing with about 750 bills that are still technically alive. But we do have another big deadline on Tuesday. On Tuesday, bills must be approved by their house of origin in order to advance. So that means they have to receive full votes in the affirmative in either the Assembly or Senate. So we're preparing for an onslaught of floor votes today, as well as next Monday and Tuesday. One important caveat that I'll mention is that if a bill has already been deemed exempt from past deadlines, those exemptions and or waivers stay in effect through the end of the session. And so for any bills already exempt, Tuesday's deadline and all deadlines afterwards will not apply. A lot of bills fall in this category, yet we still expect to see a lot more bills die come Tuesday at midnight, no doubt.
Can you give us an example of a bill that got an exemption and so is still alive and will still be alive even after Tuesday?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an exemption that meets our priority list. SB 287 is the bill to improve the Public Records Act. While it was not technically voted through committee, it has been re-referred to Senate Finance, and so that's where future deliberations will take place. That's just one of scores of bills that haven't even really been heard yet. But again, because they're exempt, we may not even hear these bills in the coming weeks. It may come down to kind of end of the session negotiations, as we always see in the final 2 weeks of the Nevada legislative sessions.
Okay, I want to get into specific bills that are still hanging fire, that are still out there. I want to begin with the PERS secrecy bill. This is one I know that you folks are very, very in tune with. SB 224. Can you give us the lowdown on, first of all, what does the bill do, what doesn't it do, and where is it in the process?
Sure, and I'd be happy to, because there's been some recent developments. SB 224, which we've deemed the PERS secrecy bill, is now back in the news, largely in part to NGRI's efforts. Just for the brief background, this bill would make secret the names of public pension recipients in Nevada. The same effort was passed by Democrats but vetoed by Sandoval in 2017, so we knew it would likely return in 2019 again. Now, as a reminder, this type of public pension information is absolutely necessary for the purposes of advancing government transparency and accountability. Without it, we can't do certain types of pension analyses, we can't investigate pension fraud, double dipping, etc. So from our perspective, the bottom line is, if you receive taxpayer money, we have a right to know that as taxpayers. Now, in terms of where the bill is now, it was originally heard back in early March and actually passed committee in late March. But like I said, there are new developments now surfacing, because NPRI, my firm, just filed a formal complaint with both the Attorney General and the Legislative Counsel Bureau, because a supporting lobbyist of SB 224, who works for RPEN, a group of retired public employees in Nevada, provided patently false testimony to the committee in terms of what information is currently public. And by doing so, this lobbyist violated Nevada law, a certain subsection of NRS 218. So we're fighting back. And what this lobbyist said specifically is that passports, addresses of ex-spouses, birth certificates, and other invasive information is all public under current law. And in her words, that demonstrates the need for reform here. In reality, however, none of that information is public, nor has it ever been, nor has NPRI ever sought it for any reason.
Now, Daniel, can I just stop you there for a second? When people testify before committees, and they get their 2 minutes or whatever it is, public sessions, I would imagine there is a lot of people espousing policy ideas, but not necessarily facts that you could say, oh, that, hey, he's lying. He's lying to the committee. What constitutes a lie, and how big a lie does it have to be before somebody like NPRI decides to file a complaint?
Well, that's a major question to be adjudicated, because we really have no idea how far this complaint will go or whether it will be taken seriously. But I will say that the certain lawmakers' comments were afforded more credibility, certainly by the fact that she was invited to present the bill herself, being invited by Senator Julia Ratty. who's the main bill sponsor. And so because she was such a main feature of the overall presentation, and lawmakers directed questions to her more often than anybody else in the room, we think what she said was so misinformed, so patently and maliciously false, that the clear intent here was fear-mongering. And that's why we've become involved. We think it was done maliciously to mislead lawmakers and to stoke public fear. So we took the only legal recourse available to us by notifying the AG and the LCB. Again, to us, this is a clear-cut case. We know we're dealing with the deep state here. Not sure what to expect, but it just goes so far as to indicate that if and when this bill passes and Dems have the votes to pass it, it'll have been passed by exploiting outright falsehoods and misinformation.
Okay. But quick question. At the end of the day, if you are 100% successful in this complaint, what will happen? Does somebody have to come before a committee and apologize? Does somebody end up going to jail? Does somebody get fined? What happens?
Quite honestly, we are navigating this process for the first time ourselves. Obviously, we are availing ourselves of the administrative process here. You know, obviously, we aren't filing a legal complaint in a state or federal court. We're going through it administratively. We really have no idea what to expect, if anything. We'll be learning. Now, of course, I think people say wrong things, whether intentionally or not, all the time before committees. But again, in this case, the misinformation was so malicious and so directed that we couldn't just sit back and let it be stated unchallenged.
Again, Daniel Honcharoo joining us from NPRI. And don't forget, this special NPRI report is brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about multiple bills dealing with school choice. It is a hot button issue all across the state of Nevada. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun, it's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, you're driving around a curve in the highway, I hit you square in the face, and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association. We are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, president-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas. Enjoy food station pairings, check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, with a special appearance by cast members from the hit TV show Counting Cars. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Proceeds stay here in Southern Nevada to continue the amazing work Rotary does in our local community. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com, and I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Simply put, school choice is on the line. We are into week 11. We're closing out week 11 of the 80th Nevada Legislature. Joining us, Daniel Honcharu from NPRI. He has literally moved lock, stock, and barrel to Carson City so that he can be there each and every day and ski on the weekends. Thank you. He joins us from Carson City. Take me to where we are with there are competing bills relative to school choice. Can you talk a little bit about what is at stake here on school choice?
So we at NPRI are tracking three major school choice bills right now. One of them is terrible. Two of them are good. Unfortunately, the terrible one's the only bill that's gotten the most attention so far. AB 458 is a terrible bill for school choice. It proposes to eliminate the 10% annual growth of the Opportunity Scholarship Program. That, of course, is the state's only funded school choice program, and it caters exclusively to low-income students. And so it was very unfortunate to see this bill just pass the Assembly on a party-line vote earlier this week. Really frustrating to see that Assembly Speaker Frierson, who presented the bill, claimed this measure was needed because the annual growth was financially, quote, unsustainable. But let's put this in context. 10% growth year over year would have added less than $1 million to the program next year. That is a negligible fraction in terms of overall state spending. We spend billions annually on public K through 12, yet $1 million next year is unsustainable. This is obviously a red herring argument. This whole issue has nothing to do with budgetary concerns and everything to do with Dems' opposition to school choice of all varieties, because Dems are married to public school teacher unions, and we all know this. That said, there's a really interesting wrinkle to this bill. We think it should require a two-thirds vote because it actually raises public revenues by reducing the amount of tax credits available, which are used to finance these scholarships. And in fact, there's a fiscal note to that effect that's already been submitted. Yet Democrats are proceeding as though it only requires a simple majority vote in both houses to pass. So the Senate is going to take this bill up soon, and if the Senate approves this measure with anything less than two-thirds support, NPRI is prepared to sue here, and we've been, in fact, in talks with certain stakeholders to prepare to do so, because the constitutional language is clear. Increases to public revenue in any form require a two-thirds vote. So the law is on our side here, we think. We'll see how it plays out. Again, if AB 458 goes through, that's just another demonstration that Democrats oppose school choice in every variety possible, simply because they're afraid of the competition.
I want to ask you about Heidi Gansert's bill, and that is, if I'm not mistaken, SB 351. Can you talk a little bit about how it's different from the Democrat bill, the AB 458?
Sure. So Gansert's bill is actually a bill that is meant to retain the current funding levels we've witnessed over the last 2 years for the same opportunity scholarship program. All she's trying to do is retain the $20 million that was made as a compromise offer 2 years ago at the end of the session, not asking for a dime more, just retaining the existing funding so as not to kick kids off of their current scholarships. And the bill, you're right, it's SB 351, cleared the last deadline by being re-referred to a different committee. So now it's exempt through all future deadlines, but still we've seen no action whatsoever on this bill, not even a planned hearing yet.
Daniel, are there any Democrats that you've seen that have come out supporting Heidi Gansert's bill?
I have not seen any such public support to date. But, of course, I will note that back during the months leading up to the 2018 election, there were several Democrats who were campaigning on the promise of maintaining these scholarships, especially Democrats in lower-income communities. So I know there is, in fact, some principled support from Democrats for these types of school choice measures. The question now becomes, will Democrat leadership override their principled stances and demand party-line votes? Because if that's the case, this bill has no chance. You know, I suspect it'll again come down to a last-minute bargaining token. Again, the Democrats are relying on the modified business tax extension that Sisolak proposed that would require at least one senator in the Senate to vote in favor. So I still think that 351 and the modified business tax extension might be a real negotiation in the session's final week or two.
It's not exactly school choice, but it's kind of a kissin' cousin, if you will, of school choice. And it is the creation of school choice scholarship programs for career technical K-12. We'll talk about that coming up in our next segment. Daniel Honcharu joining us from Carson City. Week 11 is wrapping up. We are starting to get to towards crunch time. And again, the last session is what, Daniel? Last week of June? Whoops. I'll get them back. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now. Make away the flag. Cool the red, white, and blue. And with a band wave, hail to the chief. Cool that point the cannon at you. No, it ain't me. I ain't no senator song. No. It ain't me.
Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It's live and local now. Daniel Honcharu joining us from NPRI. Don't forget, this special NPRI report is brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Daniel, there is a bill that is out there. It's, I guess, school choice in a sense, but this is more for career tech and K through 12. Can you talk a little bit about SB 404 and what it would do?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a school choice program, right, in the sense that it provides more educational choice options for Nevada's struggling students. What SB 404 proposes to do is create a new school choice scholarship program exclusively for career and technical students. It's a great, unique idea. It's been sponsored by a group of GOP Senate lawmakers. And look, we need more career tech programs because traditional education is not for everyone. And Nevada spends a shockingly low amount of money on career and tech education. This proposal would function similarly to opportunity scholarships, also relying on tax credits to finance the program that would allow students to leave their failing public schools and instead attend a tech school. Now, unfortunately, similar to SB 351, we still haven't even had a hearing scheduled yet for this bill, even though it's been exempted from all deadlines similar to SB 351. And in reality, this bill may not really have a fighting chance. Again, Democrats are really opposed to choice this session. This would constitute a new choice program. I'm glad it's still alive. I hope we have real debates in the coming weeks, but I am not bullish on this bill's prospects, unfortunately.
Let me ask you, there are a lot of good bills that are still out there, still in the mix. Whether they will get hearings, whether they will get to a floor, Senate, Assembly, doesn't matter. Can you talk a little bit about some of the good bills that are still alive?
Sure. Let me mention a couple real briefly. SB 497 is a bill that says if your business earns less than $4 million in annual revenues, you are no longer required to file a commerce tax return every year. The commerce tax is a gross receipts tax, of course. It only applies to businesses who earn more than $4 million in revenues. But under current law, even if you earn $3, you are still required to file a commerce tax return. So this is one of the rare pro-small business bills we've seen during this session, which we absolutely support. It will reduce administrative and compliance costs, which are real for especially small businesses. So we hope this sails through. We think it has a good shot. It already passed through its first committee. Expect a floor vote soon. But it's looking good, and this would be a real good, you know, albeit marginal, pro-business reform. I will also briefly mention SB 410. This is a bill that would limit the authority of GOED to offer these massive crony capitalist tax packages to companies that promise to invest in Nevada. GOED, of course, is the governor's Office of Economic Development. It's the agency which offers these lucrative tax packages to such companies. The biggest example is Tesla, of course. But SB 410 was introduced precisely as a reaction to the Faraday Future fiasco in Clark County, because that's a case where GOED got far ahead of its skis, pardon the pun. The Faraday deal fell apart because Faraday was insolvent. Yet Nevada spent time and money on trying to make the project happen anyways, and it took months and months. So this deal proposes to repeal the language which authorizes GOED to issue those types of extremely lucrative tax packages to individual companies. Definitely move in the right direction. Crony capitalism and tax favoritism is the wrong approach. Government shouldn't pick winners and losers. The best approach, of course, would be to improve the tax and regulatory landscape generally to incentivize organic economic development.
The Senate Finance Committee is still dealing with SB 287, the Public Records Act. You talked about it earlier. Is it your view that this thing will or will not pass?
You know, we are still optimistic. Right now, the big element of controversy is the implementation of potential penalties against governments and individual officials who willfully and in bad faith violate our Public Records Act. We are right now behind the scenes debating what precisely those penalties will look like. If there are no penalties, then this bill is virtually worthless, because without penalties, the NPRA is virtually unenforceable. And to us, that's the most important part of the bill. keeping these penalties in place as they were initially drafted. We have been seeing some support across the aisle for the idea in general. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. The only opponents of this bill seem to be local government lobbyists who don't want additional work and accountability foisted upon them. But I'll remind you, these people are public servants, and transparency should take precedence in this case. We are still actively promoting SB 287.
Daniel Honcharu from NPRI, Nevada Policy, or Nevada Policy Research Institute. You can choose your poison there. Let me ask you, we talked about good bills that are still alive. Let's talk about some bad bills that are still alive, still hanging fire, still could become law.
Yeah, well, I mentioned two of the worst and two of the worst that are more likely than not to be enacted. The first, of course, is statewide collective bargaining. For state workers. This has already passed committee and is now exempt from all future deadlines. We've been saying this for months. Our own research suggests that doing this would increase state spending by hundreds of millions of dollars. It would require future tax hikes, which would, of course, come on the backs of taxpayers who typically already earn less than state government workers do. So there's a fairness equity argument against SB 135, as well as a raw dollar cost argument. Because, again, tax hikes are absolutely certain if and when this bill passes. The other bad bill that's still alive, of course, is AB 456, proposes to increase the minimum wage to $12 over the next several years. I pointed out last week and saw a lot of the same rhetoric this week. A lot of the bill's supporters aren't even real supporters because they want $15. Now, there are marginal debates around whether or not the minimum wage in full at the full $12 should apply to service sector employees, for example, who rely on tips primarily for their income. There's also other debates about sub-minimum wages, which allow disabled people to find employment. Those details are being finalized now, but unfortunately, there's nothing that Republicans can really do to stop this bill. It only requires majority support in both houses, and CISLAC is definitely going to sign it. My only fear is that 2 years from now, Dems will be coming back asking for $15. Of course, that won't be the case if R somehow win back one or both legislative chambers. Another indication that election matters, right?
Indeed, elections do have consequences. Let me just ask you, and every week I keep expecting that we're going to see an emergence of the governor, that he's going to come out of his office and is going to become a part of this debate on a lot of these different bills. Are you seeing much of a presence from the governor, first term, fresh ideas? Are you seeing anything from the governor that indicates he is going to get fully involved?
I have not seen much. I know his first 100 days have primarily been focused on the administrative and regulatory priorities through the executive branch, not so much on legislation. But there certainly are a few bills where we expect and, in fact, hope him to get involved in the debate. One of those is, in fact, SB 287 to improve the Public Records Act, because CISLAC for years has been a fervent supporter of transparency in government, even transparency in the collective bargaining process. So we hope that he's on board with strengthening these transparency laws, because for 10 years plus, he's been in favor of doing so.
Daniel, I tell you what, it's going to start getting exciting. We're into week 11. We're just wrapping up week 11. What is ahead on week 12? Do we have any kind of a preview of what will be coming up? You mentioned the one deadline coming up on Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday will be full days. You're going to see hours of floor votes on both Monday and Tuesday. You'll likely see a relaxed day on Wednesday. But the next deadline is just around the corner. Bills are now advancing out of their initial house of origin and going over to the opposing chamber, either the Assembly or the Senate. So we're going to see a lot of the same debates we've seen in the past couple of months. The only difference is that the debates wherein those chambers will be held are changing. So more of the same to be expected. The pace may slow down in the coming week as the Tuesday deadline comes and passes. But we still got a whole lot on our plate in front of us, a whole lot of bad bills. to try to defeat a whole lot of bad bills, to try and convince Sisolak to veto. Our work is certainly cut out for us. No question about that.
We will talk again next week. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, Daniel, and we will talk again next week.
Thank you, sir. Likewise.
There you have it. Daniel Honcharoo joining us. By the way, this special Nevada Policy Research Institute report is brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Stick around. Coming up, Democrats are fit to be tied. They are so frustrated, they're starting to get nasty. Have you seen some of the talking heads on cable news? They're starting to get nasty. Snarky. Yeah, a lot of that going on right now. We'll do that and more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us as we continue live and local now.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. It always feels like a cliche when people say, call your lawmaker. I know most of us roll our eyes and move on with our daily lives. The truth is, however, it really does make a difference. When a lawmaker receives even just a handful of phone calls, it feels like the world is coming down on them, and they notice. So pick up a phone, because your voice is really needed right now. SB 351 is a bill to save Opportunity Scholarships, a school choice program that is currently helping thousands of low-income kids find a better education. And unless lawmakers hear from parents who support this program right now, this bill is going to die. And if it dies, thousands of low-income kids will have their scholarships ripped away overnight. So it might sound cliched, but it's absolutely necessary. Call your lawmaker and tell them to support Opportunity Scholarships. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Visit NevadaPolicy.org for more information today.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
Are you seeking a career change? Are you a motivated self-starter with solid computer skills and radio board operating experience? Well, the folks here at 790 Talk Now are expanding. They're in the midst of a valley-wide search for the best and brightest radio production talent. If you want to help produce Live and Local Now and other 790 Talk Now programming, I want you as a part of our Royce International Broadcasting team. For more information, call Debbie McKay at 760-851-9447. That number again, 760-851-9447.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk Now. Talk that rocks.
Man, I was just looking at all of the sound that we have from Democrats and talking heads and members of Congress who are absolutely beside themselves with rage. They can't believe that the Mueller report didn't give them the ammo they need to impeach or to prosecute. They just can't believe it. For instance, listen. This is cut one, and this is Jeffrey Toobin, CNN senior legal analyst, talking head, and Jeffrey Toobin is absolutely certain that Trump is guilty, after reading the report, is guilty of obstruction of justice. Here it is.
If this isn't obstruction of justice, I'd like to see what is obstruction of justice. Because, I mean, the scale and the number of episodes in the way that the president tried to stop this investigation without stopping it, and that needs to be pointed out, is just extraordinary. And you want to talk about motive. I mean, the part that Pamela just quoted, he's sitting there looking at an investigation where he says, this is the end of my presidency. So he spends the next year trying to interfere with that investigation so his presidency doesn't end. I mean, that's as clear an indication of motive as I can determine. And if you look at the extraordinary details here, you know, the often minute by minute analysis of who the president is calling and when and what he's saying, including phone calls that I certainly wasn't aware of to Corey Lewandowski, who he was telling do that. And, you know, I suppose, you know, one explanation for all of this is that he was just blowing off steam, and the invariable explanation that we always get from Sarah Sanders that he was just joking. But it's a lot of evidence of obstruction of justice.
Now, it wasn't just the talking heads. I want you to listen to a portion of an interview that I recorded last night. This was Sean Maloney, a New York Democrat member of Congress, was on with Martha McCallum. And I want you to listen to how testy this whole thing gets. It gets downright snarky between a pretty reasonable woman in Martha McCallum from Fox News and Sean Maloney, that New York Democrat member of Congress. Here it is.
I think about Carter Page, who just, you know, whose name became a household word during the course of this whole thing. And so when I went through it this morning, I was curious to see what they actually found on Carter Page. Just as one example, and I'm granted, you know, there's a lot here, but this is just one example, right? So it says, on page 95 in volume one, the investigation did not establish that Page coordinated with Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. That's a pretty big headline. It's a simple sentence, but it's a pretty big headline given all of the discussion. Then you go on and there's just this back and forth. Page was asking if President Trump should go speak at a graduation in Russia. And he also wanted to take a trip to be part of this event in Russia. And he keeps approaching the campaign, and Corey Lewandowski, the campaign manager, responds the same day, saying, if you want to do this, it would be outside of your role with DJT for president campaign. I am certain Mr. Trump will not be able to attend. And it's just an example of a very sort of clear-cut moment in all of this that just got so blown out of proportion over the course of 2 years. What do you think about that?
I think we should try to remain focused on what actually matters, and it sure as heck isn't Carter Page. What matters is that the Russians attacked the United States of America. Just hold that thought for a second. That what matters is that the President of the United States directed the White House counsel to remove the special counsel, and he only didn't get away with it because Don McGahn said no. What matters is that he told the National Security Aide, K.T. McFarlane, to cook up some story about what happened with Ambassador Kislyak, and she said no. In other words, what is clear from the report is that the president seemed to engage every way he could to obstruct
it. Well, I understand that. But, you know,
aides.
The other finding
those
is
are,
that...
Excuse me.
I have let you explain yourself in great detail. So I just want to say one thing,
right.
And then I will
and
let you go on.
Is, the
I,
point,
I will let you go on,
me,
sir.
The point
no,
is that,
excuse me.
Excuse me.
I have something to say.
Excuse me. The point is that Carter Page is way down the list on what
matters. You're very rude, sir. That was rude.
That's how it got yesterday on cable news. There was a lot of rudeness. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. No, it was a little ugly out there. The Democrats fully expected that there were going to be a bunch of bombshells that would lead to indictments, that would lead to members of the president's staff being perp walked out of the White House. That was their vision. And it did not happen. Now, coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk about why, well, if, let's begin with if, what happened yesterday, the release of the Mueller report, if it impacts you where you live. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, it's good that it's over. Now let's move on. Now let's do the will of the American people. Let's fix our healthcare system, our immigration system, roads and bridges, infrastructure. Let's do all of that. And let's leave all this impeachment BS behind. That's what I think the American people are saying. I want to find out what you're saying. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. That's the number to call. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. One of the things we're going to do coming up in our next segment is we'll get to your phone calls. But I want to find out if what happened yesterday, the release of the Mueller report, you may agree with it. You may disagree with it. You may have an argument about this or about that. But I want to find out from you if you're now ready to move on, or do you think this is just the beginning of another chapter? That now you're going to have the House Judiciary Committee and the House Intelligence Committee and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff. You're going to have them trying to dig into the president's tax returns. Is it just a new chapter that's just beginning? We'll talk about that. Again, the phone number. Smart folks, by the way, they call in during the news, so they have a place in line. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now. Recently, Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.